Thank you, Deborah. Good morning, Christ Church. So glad you're here, shiny, happy people. It's great to be in worship with you. And I'm so glad you were able to dig out from all the snow we've had so far this winter to join us today. You'll want to pull out your Christ Church notes. They're in your worship program. You'll find them right there. You know, we are in part four of our series called Get Happy. We're studying through the book of Philippians, arguably the happiest book in the Bible. And we're actually in chapter 3. So if you haven't done so, pull out your Christ Church notes. You'll find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you. You'll need that as we walk through our message together, or the text together. You know, in chapter 3, here's what Paul does. Paul is giving us four practical practices for a happy heart. Four practical practices for a happy heart. You know, and here's the deal. You know, if you'll just spend 10 to 15 minutes alone with the Lord each day, you know, you're able to put every one of these practical practices into practice in your own spiritual life. And the great thing that happens is if you'll put these practical practices in place, these things that Paul is telling us about today, then what you're going to see is the level of your unhappiness will decrease and your happiness will grow exponentially. That's, I believe, what's going to happen when we put all of this into practice. So let's just jump right in, shall we? Let's look at first practical practice. Number one is this: every day, relax in God's grace. Every day, folks, you know, God tells us to relax in His grace. Paul is talking about that here in Philippians. Relax in God's grace. If you're going to be a happy person, you got to learn to relax in the grace of God. You know, folks, far too many well-meaning Christians, you know, are trying still to earn God's approval. Far too many well-meaning Christians are trying to earn God's love. Far too many well-meaning Christians are trying to earn God's recognition. But listen to me, say this: you can't get it that way. You can't earn these things. You see, the scripture tells us that God is love, and He already loves you unconditionally. That's the way God is. He already loves you unconditionally. So you need to hear this too. There is a big difference, folks, between religion and relationship. There's a huge difference, I think, between religion and relationship. Religion is mostly about what you do for God. But a relationship is about what God's done for you. You know, and I believe that Jesus didn't come to give you religion. You know, thank God for that. He didn't come to give you a religion. He came to offer you a relationship with His Father, with God, the Creator of the world. And folks, listen, if you forget that, you will lose your happiness. Anytime you begin to think that you have got to earn God's smile, anytime you think that you've got to earn God's love, you have fallen into the religion trap and you will lose your happiness. I believe that's a guarantee. In fact, let's look at Philippians chapter 3, beginning the end of verse 3. Paul says it like this. Look what he says. He says, "We Christians glory in what Christ Jesus," what are those two words? "Has done." All right, "has done," past tense. We Christians glory. We celebrate. We honor. We're in awe of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Well, what in the world has He done for us? Well, certainly He went to the cross, and there He said, "It's finished. You know, it's done. I've done it all for you. I've won the victory, and I've won your victory." He has done it. And then so it goes on to say, well, I'll start at the beginning. It says, "We Christians glory in what Christ Jesus has done for us, and we realize that we're helpless to save ourselves." In other words, you know, we can't earn our way to heaven. You know, we're helpless to save ourselves. We're never going to be good enough. We have the promise of heaven only because of the wonderful, amazing grace of God. So, folks, relax. Relax in the grace of God. I love the way the Message Bible says this verse right here. Check it out. It says, we couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. Well, that's true. You know, we can't save ourselves, right? We couldn't carry it off by our own efforts, and we know it. I love that. You see, relaxing in God's grace will give you happiness, but the opposite of that will suck the joy right out of your life. And you know what that is? It's a trap. And it's the trap of legalism. It's the trap of legalism. I want you to write that in. Trap of legalism. Legalism is thinking that I've got to prove my love to God. Legalism is trusting in what I do rather than what Christ has done for us. Legalism is trusting in rules and rituals and regulations in order to prove yourself worthy to God. You know, I'll give you an example of that. Legalism is like believing that, you know, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, you know, then God's going to let me into heaven. Well, really? Well, you know, I think there are two problems with that. Number one, you can't even name all ten, much less keep them, right? All right. And number two, you've already broken them. You've already broken them. Somebody come up and say, well, you know, Pastor John, I've not ever committed adultery. Really? Well, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said if you've lusted in your heart after someone, it's the same thing as committing adultery. Okay, well, there you strike. Right there, wipe that one off. You know, you say, well, I've never committed murder. Well, really? Jesus said, you know, if you've hated someone in your heart, then it's the same as committing murder. Okay, well, there goes another one. You know, you know what we need? We don't need any more rules and regulations. We need grace. We need grace. And that's the beauty of what Jesus offers. And so relax. Relax in the amazing, wonderful grace of God. You know, let's look at verses 4 to 6, what Paul had to say. I'm going to paraphrase verses 4 and 5, and then we'll look at 6. The paraphrase is this, Paul saying, you know, he said, before I became a Christian, I was a legalist. I was trying to earn heaven through rituals, through my race, through religion, through rules, through reputation. It wasn't working. If anyone was a legalist, I was. And then in verse 6, he says, and as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He said, look, I've tried it. I've tried being a legalist. I tried to earn my way to heaven. I tried to earn God's smile. I tried to earn God's love, but it wasn't working. You know, let me ask you this question. Are you a legalist? Are you a legalist? Well, here's how you know. Here's a telltale sign anyway. Are you regularly critical and judgmental of other people? If you are, you're probably a legalist. Because, you know, when you're trying to earn your way to heaven, you expect everybody else to be trying to earn their way. You see, they're trying to be perfect. Well, the reality is it doesn't work. And if that's where you are, you're going to be losing your happiness. There's only so much happiness in trying to be a legalist in rules and in regulations. Well, are you living by God's grace? Well, yeah, let me ask you this. Are you gracious to others? Are you gracious to others? You know, gracious people realize, number one, you've already been forgiven. God's already forgiven me, so I need to forgive you. You know, God's already cut me some slack. I need to cut slack for some other folks. So I got to tell you, legalism will suck the joy right out of your life. And, you know, it even happens in some churches too. Have you ever been to a legalistic church where everything is run by rules and regulation and rituals? Let me tell you, most of the people who are there, in my opinion, this is John speaking, are there out of guilt and shame, you know, and out of duty. Well, let me tell you, when that happens, there's very little joy there. But when you're in worship because you love God, when you're in worship because you're grateful to God, when you're in worship because not because you're trying to earn God's approval or God's love, but because you've received it and you're grateful, let me tell you, it changes everything. So relax, folks, just relax every day in the wonderful grace of God. All right, that's Paul's teaching number one. But what's his second practical practice? His second practical practice is this: to remember what it is that matters most. Remember what it is that matters most. You know, in other words, don't get distracted by the petty. Don't get distracted by the trivial. Don't get distracted by the unimportant. And you say, well, John, why is that so? Why is that so important? Well, think about it. How many times do you lose your happiness over the little things? It's just the little stuff that gets in the way, that sucks the joy right out of our lives, right? I mean, it's not often the great big things. Those are sometimes few and far between. But it's the little stuff that happens all the time that can suck the joy right out of your life. Look what Paul had to say, verse 7. He said this: those things that were important to me, those things that I really believed were important, well, to me, I now think they're worth nothing because of Christ. Let me ask you, you know, before you came to know Jesus, what were you chasing after? What was so important that you were chasing after in your life? You know, was it getting a date? Was it being popular? You know, was it your career? Was it the thoughts of maybe one day being famous or something like that? Well, you know what Paul had to say? He said, look, now that I know Christ, those things that used to run my life are just not that important anymore. You know, looking cool, being cool, you having the goods, you know, in the long-term scheme of life, those things just aren't important. Here's the trap. You're going to recognize this as soon as I say it. The trap of remembering what is important in life is our culture. It's our culture. You know, you and I, we're surrounded by a culture, folks, that said, you know what, if I don't have this product, if I don't drive this car, if I don't use this body wash, you know, I'm as worthless as yesterday's news. That's what our culture tells us. You know, so how do you counteract a culture like that? Well, you got to ask yourself, will any of this stuff matter? You know, will it matter in 5 years? Will it matter in eternity? You can even ask yourself, will it matter tomorrow or next week? You know, well, is any of this stuff really that important? You know, because the world around you, you know, the world around you is on an endless game of trivial pursuit. The world around you is just playing trivial pursuit, living for the things that won't amount to a hill of beans. And you ask yourself, folks, you know, why am I so stressed out? You know, why am I so anxious? Why am I so uptight when all this small stuff won't matter next week, much less in eternity? Paul says, you know, people, if you want to be happy, remember what it is that matters most. Verse 8, look what he says, what Paul said, verse 8 and 9. Yes, he said, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as, what did he say? Garbage. Counting it all as garbage. By the way, I'm going to stop right there. Circle that word garbage. Just circle that word garbage. I'm going to finish the text and then I'm going to tell you. So that accounting everything else is garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one like him. You know, frankly, you know, when this text was translated from the Greek to English, Paul really freaked out the translators here. He really had them wondering what in the world they were going to say at this point, because the word is crap, really. Counting it all as crap. It's dung, it's manure. That's what he was saying. You know, you can fill in the rest of it. I'm not going to do that. But counting it all as crap, he says, when it compared to knowing Christ. All that stuff is not even worth crap, he said, in the scheme of life. And after, Paul was saying, you know, after I began a relationship with Jesus, I stopped the religion thing, I started the relationship thing, and all the other stuff that I was getting uptight about, I discovered wasn't even worth crap. All right, that's number two. I guess you'll remember that now. Number three, let's see what the third practice is for a happy heart. You want to have a happy heart? Here it is. Get to know Jesus better. This is what Paul is teaching us. He says, look, get to know Jesus better if you want to have a happy heart. You know, you can start each day saying something like this, Lord, you know, if I don't get anything else done today, you know, I want to know you a little better and I want to love you a little more. If I don't get anything else done today, Lord, help me to love, get to know you a little better and to love you a little more. Folks, you know, if you've been around for any length of time, you know that I continue to say this over and over and over again. You were made for a relationship with God. You were created. You were formed for a relationship with God. And you can't stay happy in your life if you keep ignoring what it is you were made to do. And Paul, well, he was brilliant because he finally figured this out himself. Look at verses 10 and 11. What did he say? He said, you know, all I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. I love this verse. I want to know Christ and experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his suffering, to become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised to life, from death to life. Paul says, I want to know Christ. You know, there's a big difference, folks, between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Do you agree with me? There's a big difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. You know, I know about Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian more than I ever wanted to know, you know? But I don't know them, right? But I do know my wife, and I know my kids, and I know my friends. Why? Because I have a relationship with them. See the big difference? The big difference is I have a relationship with them. You know, here's the trap of getting to know Jesus better. It's right here. You'll know what it is as soon as I tell you. The trap is busyness. It's busyness. Busyness will suck the joy right out of your life. You know, busyness damages your relationship with your family. It damages your relationship with your friends. It'll damage your relationship with your with the Lord as well. I tend to think that busyness is one of Satan's greatest tools to really suck the joy right out of our lives. And you know, to get to know Jesus better, why is this the trap? Because to get to know Jesus better, or anybody else for that matter, you can't be so busy you don't have time. So, you know, even if you spend 10 or 15 minutes with the Lord each day, you know, you can put these things into practice, all these practical practices for this for a happy heart. You know, you can say, you know, Lord, in this time, you say, you know, Lord, help me today to relax in your grace. Help me to realize that you love me. You've already loved me. Help me to remember, Lord, what really matters most, that when the rest of the world around me is playing Trivial Pursuit, help me to remember what it is that's really important in life, which is to know you more, to get to know you better, to love you a little more each day. You know, if you just spend a little bit of time with the Lord in prayer, your unhappiness level will decrease and your happiness will grow exponentially. I promise you that. It's what Paul is telling us right here. You know, so, you know, when you spend some time with the Lord each day, as I said, you just can't be busy. You got to do just like the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10, I believe it is, says, be still and do what? And know that I am God. Say the first two words together. Be still. There it is. Terrifying words, isn't it? Yeah, for us type A people, you know, and if you live in Northern Virginia, you're pretty much got to be a type A person almost, you know, is be still. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, so we're at number four right now, the fourth practical practice for a happy heart. And actually, is there two of them right here? And that's this. Go ahead. It is forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Let's say that together. Ready? Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. One more time. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Folks, this is a big one. It's a big one, big one. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future, not the past. Your past is past. It's over. It's done. All your worry can't change your past one little bit. So forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. But let's just be honest right now for a moment and say this. You know, I know that many of you in this room, including myself, I'm including myself in this, have been hurt in life. We've all been hurt in life. Some way, somehow, we've experienced all kinds of pain. And I'm really sorry about that. You know, as your pastor, as someone who loves you, as someone who prays for you, I know that you've been hurt quite a lot. I've heard many of your stories. Many of you have been hurt severely, whether it's emotional abuse or physical abuse, sexual abuse or financial abuse. Many of you have been hurt in many, many, many ways, and I am deeply sorry about that. But I want you to hear me say this. Happiness requires letting go. It requires letting go and learning not to let your past run your present. Happiness is all about letting go of the past and focusing on the future. You know, and the truth is, you can hold on to your pain if you want to. I mean, nobody's going to force you to let it go. You can hold on to that memory. You can hold on to that hurt. You can hold on to that pain. But if you do, you can't be happy, because it will suck the joy right out of your life. So I'm asking you to make a decision today to choose to let that go, to let go of the pain so that your past doesn't control your present. Let it go, let it go, let it go, or you'll be frozen in your past. You did get that, didn't you? There you go. Yes, you're a smart crowd. I just love this church. You know, let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door, you know. Shut the door to it all. Let it go, folks, or you'll get frozen in your past. All right, happiness involves letting it go. Look what Paul said. He figured it out. Verse 13, 14, if I focus on this one thing, if I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Take your pen or pencil, circle the phrase right up the top. Focus on this one thing. Focus on this one thing. You know, you only have a limited amount of energy. Do you agree with me? All right, you don't have an unlimited supply, right? If you do, please let me know. I'd like to know where you get it. But, you know, we all have, I think, a limited supply of energy. And that's the reason why you get tired. That's the reason you get fatigued, the reason you get worn out. Because you don't have an unlimited supply of energy. You're a human being, after all, you know? And because you only have a limited supply of energy, I highly recommend that you don't waste any of it on the past. Don't waste this precious supply of energy on your past. I mean, would you like to change it? You bet. Can you change it? No, you can't. So forget it. Forget it. It can't be changed. This habit is so important to your happiness. And there are three traps. We're going to do these three traps real quick. The first one, you got to deal with these. Let me tell you, if you don't, it's going to suck the joy right out of your life. First one is regret. Write it in. You know, we've got plenty of regrets. You know, those regrets are the things that I wish I had done differently. We second guess ourselves. Are there things you wish you'd done differently in life? You know, I imagine there are. There are in mine, of course. You know, but the past is the past. It's done. It's over. I'm not going to waste any more emotion and energy on the past because I can't change it. This is the stuff that I've done wrong. Regret. Number two, second, is unforgiveness. Second trap is unforgiveness. This is the stuff that people have done to you. You know, the stuff that you've done, that's the regret. That's the guilt, the shame, and the regret. The stuff that's been done wrong to you, you know, is resentment, unforgiveness, and bitterness. You know, either way, you get stuck in the past. You know, what I've done wrong or what others have done wrong to me, either way, you get stuck in the past. Holding on to resentment, I just got to say it this way. Holding on to resentment and unforgiveness is just dumb. It's just dumb. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody but you. You know, the whole time you're thinking about the person that's done you wrong, they're not thinking about you. They're out having a steak dinner. They don't care about what they've done to you, but you, as you hold on to it, you continue to allow that person to hurt you over and over and over and over. Every time you stream that thought through your head, you are allowing that person to hurt you over and over again. And it's a dumb thing to do. The only person you hurt with unforgiveness is you. You gotta let it go. You know, do they deserve forgiveness? No. You know? But here's the thing. We don't either. Right? Yeah. That's the I just love this about Jesus is that, you know, this is all about the grace of God, right? Because it is the grace of God that allows him to forgive us. Even all of our mess. Even all of our mess, he forgives us, wipes it clean, and allows us to start new. You know, the people that have hurt you, they don't deserve it either. But the beautiful thing is when you let it go, it's healing to you. It heals you. All right, the last one. And we'll call it a day. And that's this. It has to do with tradition. And I know that some of you may bristle a little bit about that. You know, I get it. But I want you to hear me say what I've got to say about this. You know, what are the famous seven last words? We've never done it this way before, right? Famous seven last words. We've never done it like this or that way before. You know, have you noticed that things do change in your life? I mean, if you live in Northern Virginia, you certainly notice that things change, right? Sure, things change every day. You know, things are changing all around you, you know, some for good, some for bad. You know, your body's changing, the weather changes, the relationships change, culture changes, everything's constantly changing, and you can't stop it. You can't stop it. So yeah, I can either decide I'm going to get mad at the change, resist the change, and when these things are happening, or I can choose to be happy. You know, I've said before, you know, happiness, folks, is a choice. It's a choice. You're as happy as you choose to be. So even in the middle of things that I don't like, and there are plenty of them, I can either choose to be happy, or I can choose to resist and have the joy just continue to be sucked out of my life. And I can tell you this, that here's this, you know, failure to change with the times, you know what it makes you? Irrelevant. It makes you irrelevant. It can make your business irrelevant, can make you irrelevant, can make your churches irrelevant. Failure to change with the times will make you irrelevant. Doesn't mean that you have to change the product. It means you have to change the wrapping. But you've got to move ahead. You know, here's the deal. How you handle these changes, I tend to believe, reveals your level of spiritual maturity. How you handle the changes reveals your spiritual maturity, how connected to God you are. You know, because the more I think, the more you're connected with the Lord, have that goal of eternity in mind, the less it really matters what is really going on down here. Because things constantly change. Things constantly do change. You know, even here at Christ Church, you know, we've been through a lot of changes. In the last 23 years, you know, you think about it. We were at Silverbrook Elementary School, starting over there, you know, with a handful of 30 people. Now we're, you know, 700 people on the weekends ready to move across to the Promised Land over there on a brand new church campus. I mean, we've already, and that's not the first time we've built. We moved from Silverbrook and built here, and then we added on to this facility. Then we've added all of these trailers. You know, our worship style has changed. All of our ministries have evolved and changed. You know, a lot has taken place in 23 years. People have come and people have gone. Staff have come and staff have gone. You know, and the reality is, you know, if you can't handle change or don't like change, this probably is not the church for you. Because we're continually moving forward and on the rod of our life as Jesus, as we walk with Him where He is taking us. You know, there is no growth without change, and there's no change without loss. And that's absolutely true. But you just got to let go of the old and grab the new. There's no loss without pain. And all change can be uncomfortable, even the good stuff. But if you want to be happy, look what Isaiah had to say. Isaiah 43, he says this. Lord says, let's read that part. Forget what has happened before. Let's do that again. Forget what's happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I am going to do. Let me tell you, I'm holding on right there. I'm holding on to that right there as the Lord takes us forward, as He takes us on the rod of our lives, as we get to go where He goes and follow where He leads and be in the center of His will. Let me say it again. You know what? If you want to be happy, spend some time with the Lord each day. Say, God, thank You so much that I can relax in Your grace, that I don't have to earn Your approval or earn Your smile. You already do love me. Help me to remember what it is that matters most in life and not to get caught up in an endless game of trivial pursuit. But help me to know You a little better and love You a little more each day. Forget about the past and focus on the future. For Lord, I am trusting You. That will make your heart happy. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Thank You so much, God. You are such an amazing Lord. You know, if you accept the challenge to spend some time with the Lord each day and make your heart happy, I want you to join me in the quietness of your own heart and pray this after me and say, Dear God, you know, I want to learn to relax in Your grace every day, to try not to earn Your approval, but realize You already love me, and You'll never love me any less or any more. I want to reject legalism today, God, and trying to prove my worth to You by rules and restrictions and regulations and rituals. That I want to live by Your grace and to be gracious to everybody else. And then, Lord, help me to focus every day on what matters most, not to believe all the advertisements, but not to spend or waste my life in worry over the things that aren't even going to matter a week from today, much less in eternity. You know, every day, Lord, help me to get to know You a little better and love You a little more. I want to spend some time with You each day, some quiet time to read Your word, to pray, to listen. And help me, Lord, not to focus on that which can't be changed, my past, but help me to focus on the future and what You have in store for me. And folks, if you've never opened up your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you can say in the quietness of your own heart right now, you know, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now. I want to get to know You. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you. I don't want religion, but I want a relationship with you. Thank you so much, God, for all you do. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen. And